Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal Gill in for Floyd. The Nashville Predators schedule is out. So, Hal, get ready to start marking your calendar for all the days you're gone. Starting on the road October 4th at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. Saturday the 6th at the Islanders. The Preds come home on Thursday the 9th against Calgary, and then on that, Tuesday, October 9th against Calgary, and on Thursday, October 11th, things get real. Wow. Things get real with the Winnipeg Jets, the fourth game of the season at home, a rematch against Winnipeg. So the schedule is out. Also, apparently, we have breaking news. Jameis Winston has been suspended 3 games by the NFL, according to Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider. This, I think, stems from a 2016 incident in Arizona with an Uber driver, and I guess Jameis Winston suspended for 3 games. So,
planning to suspend Jameis Winston for 3 games, according to Schefter.
NFL is planning to suspend Jameis Winston for 3 games. So how about that? That's a lot of stuff coming up right there. Now, I guess that kind of throws another wrench into the Marcus Jameis argument, because I know Marcus ain't getting suspended for 3 games. So,
yeah, that's a tough one. That hurts.
Oh, yeah, it does. Now, it is 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means, Hal, it is time for the people to talk to you.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Hello Windows.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
I think it hit Hal in that open that he's not the GM Floyd Reese. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Ask the GM presented.
Can I do his laugh?
Ask the GM presented by Pella Windows and Doors. See their expert, Justin Fortune, here in Nashville. That's Pella
Big
Windows
shoes
and Doors. We start off with Ellie, who's going
to
kick us off today. Ellie, you're on with Hal Gill, and you go ahead.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think Tavares would be a good fit in Nashville. I think he has too many defensive deficiencies. He doesn't know how to play defense. Besides Wayne Simmonds, we do need some physical presences. Who would you want as a physical presence for the Predators that might be free agent or available to us besides Simmonds?
That's a tough one. Who's available?
James Van Riemsdyk.
We talked about him. I don't know if he's a physical presence, but he's definitely a presence around the net, which is, in today's game, I think, if you can get someone around the net that's big and strong and pushes around, that's kind of the physical presence that you're looking for. That's what Wayne Simmonds does well. I think he's the guy. He's probably the toughest. The reason I said Wayne Simmonds is because he's the toughest, arguably one of the toughest guys in the league right now that can go out and score and play the game. Van Riemsdyk.
Maroon.
Maroon, I think, is a good guy with a body, because the reason I brought up Simmonds is because you put him on a line with Turris and Fiala. I think he put some size into that. I think that maybe they got negated a little bit in the playoffs because they didn't have that presence. So, Maroon would be more of a guy that over Van Riemsdyk, probably a little cheaper too, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure.
And then, but Simmonds is, I think, would be a huge get. So, I don't know. That's a tough get, because I think you're going to have to make a trade at some point to find that. You're going to have to give up something to make room and to make a spot. So it all depends on what you're willing to give up. It will determine what you're going to want to get.
Let's go to Kyle, who's up next here on Ask the GM. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Kyle, you're on with Hal Gill.
Nice. Hey, guys. My question is, since we're on physical, play and everything, I know it's rumored out there, so how would a Phil Kessel fit into the Nashville Predators? He's $10 million. He's pretty expensive, but I'm just wondering, would he be an answer to that? And I'll hang up and listen.
I'll put Phil Kessel on a great player as a byproduct of playing with Crosby and Malkin. I think
he was good in Toronto.
Are you going to build a team around him?
No!
Yeah. Okay. He's not your go-to.
He's like Dez Bryant.
He's not your go-to scorer. I think he just kind of fell into place in Pittsburgh and had that success. He's not the heart and soul guy. He's
the hot dog guy.
He's the wolf and hot dogs. He's a different personality. He's
coach killer.
Yeah, he could be coach killer, but I think he was kind of took a back seat and just went about his business. Don't know. I mean, he probably shoots guys I played against. He probably shoots in stride better than anyone I've ever played against. He's coming down the wing. He's tough to stop. It's tough to get a stick on that puck. But I don't know if the price he's looking for. I wouldn't touch it. I think he's a guy I'd say thanks but no thanks.
Plus, he has just run out of so many. Like, if Pittsburgh were to trade him, I mean, that means that he would have run his way out of three locker rooms. Like,
well, he's complaining about something. I don't know what he's complaining about. You know, there's, I think Mike Sullivan had different camps. He had his older guys and he had his younger guys in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he leans on the younger guys to get things done and get up there and help out the older guys. But the older guys are kind of on their island, I think, in Pittsburgh. So, Phil Kessel, I think, was on his own little island in the offshoots off a key somewhere. But, yeah, I that's a hard pass for me.
Let's go to Brett, who's up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Brett, you're on with Hal Gill.
Thank you, gentlemen. My question is, do you ever think it's possible for the Predators to play a home game in Memphis? And if so, how beneficial to the Nashville fan base would that be and growth of the NHL? Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Can Memphis not come to Nashville? Is that too much of a haul to come and watch a game?
Like for a Memphis fan?
I just think you, we talked about the Islanders. Islanders are having games everywhere trying to grow the, you know, I think that's a room for exhibition. If you want to have a game there, you do it in exhibition because home ice is too important. You want to keep those guys, you want to keep your players at home whenever possible. I think the Islanders, they have a tough task because they're bouncing around playing 12 games here and, you know, they're splitting it up.
Plus, when you're sold out on season tickets, like if I'm paying for 82 games or 41 games, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, it's only 40 because we're going to play this one game in Memphis. Oh, by the way, it's Winnipeg. Like, I'd be furious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think that's an exhibition kind of thing. And I would say do a home and home. Grizzlies come here for an exhibition game, and yep, Preds could go there for an exhibition game.
Yeah, fine. I think that's a great idea, and I like that. I think that should be something that if you want to grow the base, you know, find a place. And is there a place in Knoxville you can play?
I guess you could play at Thompson Bowling Arena. I'm not sure they have ice.
And I used to enjoy that, too. As a player, it was kind of fun to go, you know, a little trip. Not too far. But
well, like for the Bruins, it's easy because you can go to, like, New Hampshire Maine.
We'd be in Worcester. We'd be in Maine. We'd be in Providence. You're going everywhere to play. When I was a Bruins, we were everywhere. But now it's a money-making thing, too. You know, you want to make money. The teams want to make money, so they want to sell out buildings, and even in exhibition.
Let's go to Matt, who's up next here on Ask the GM, Hal Gill in for Floyd. Matt, you're on with Hal Gill.
Hey, guys. Do you think that the PGA should make an example or say something or do something disciplinary for Phil Mickelson for basically admitting that he premeditated cheated by doing what he did? Not necessarily what he did, but the fact that afterwards he admitted that, yeah, he knew that he was breaking the rules, but he just did it anyways.
Thank you, Matt.
Because I think that's the biggest issue.
Thank you, Matt. Are you familiar with what he's talking about?
Yeah. I love that you asked that. Thank you, Matt. I don't understand what the big deal is. He cheated. He got his two-stroke penalty. What's the problem?
So I liken this to like hockey or football. So say a guy's coming down and is going to have a legit chance to put one in the net, and you hook him to keep him from scoring, you take your 2 minutes and go to the box. That is, you knew when you hooked him to keep him from scoring a goal, you knew that you were going on the penalty kill and you were going to the box, and you knew that, and you took that anyways because you know that that's better than the guy scoring a goal. I totally agree. If the rule is the two strokes, then that's the rule and move on.
It didn't happen all the time, but 5-on-3 at the end of a game, if I'm the three, I'll take that puck and just lie on top of it, you know, and just hold it there in the corner, wherever it is, okay, give me a penalty. Next guy out there lying on top of that puck. You're killing time. Yeah, you're taking a penalty, but what are you going to do? You can't. It's 5-on-3, and it's always going to be 5-on-3 because there's no – so you just keep sending guys to the box, whatever. I mean, that you're using the rules to your advantage. That's not – I Phil doesn't have to apologize to anyone.
To me, that's good strategy.
Yeah. I mean, that's just him playing his game.
Although it might have been stupid to do that two-stroke penalty just in terms
That's his call.
Right, exactly.
You can yell at him. He's
stupid.
But
that's his strategy.
But you can't yell at the PGA come crack down on that.
I thought the just overall crybaby fans of the golf this weekend makes me hate golf more. Like the crying about how hard the course was, the crying about the Phil Mickelson thing. Like, stop crying.
Well, all right,
it's hard for everybody.
All right, can I go off on another thing here? I love the integrity of the game. Everyone keeps their scorecard. Why are these athletes keeping their own scorecards? Why is this happening? Like, the PGA can't afford to have someone follow this guy and say he scored a thing. And like, why is this happening? Like, hey, you touched the ball.
Could you imagine basketball if we let them like call their own fouls?
Yeah, it's there's so much, you know, like, even to the point where, like, if you lose a ball that's, like, just off to the side of the fairway, I think the guy should be like, that's not fair. I saw the ball land right there. It should be there. So I'm not going to call a lost ball. I'm just going to say, here's another ball because it should be right there. And so someone obviously took it in the from the crowd or, you know, like, just a ref for each guy.
You know, like, when
why are they – they keep score for their other guy, too.
You know when a woman says something like, I knew I fell in love with him at that moment. I'm starting to like Hal on the radio. I'm starting to like the takes. Give me some more calls for Hal. Give me another batch. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM. Presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. And again, the best call for Hal will win a pair of tickets to see Poison and Cheap Trick with Pop Evil at Ascend Amphitheater on Thursday, June 28th. Hal in for Floyd, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back to the calls next. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. And Hal, you got some great questions in that first segment, and you had some great answers. So we go right back to the phones, and we start with Scott, who's going to kick us off on this segment of Ask the GM. Scott, you're on with Hal Gill.
Hey, guys. Hey, Hal, question for you. Since Barry Trotz got a new job today, speaking on coaches, you were there with Phil Housley. And my question is, seeing what the Predators did just so many times this year about completely folding in the third period, what kind of presence does a guy like Phil Housley, who's been there, done special teams, helped with defense, loss was that to the Predators? I mean, do you say that helped anything with the way that they just kind of folded at the end of the games this year?
I don't know if you can correlate it to him, to the team folding, and I'm not sure if that's the right way to put it. When the way the NHL is now, it's hard to keep leads. I mean, guys are too fast, and when they're coming strong with nothing to lose, it's tough to stop. But I will say, Phil Housley, after playing, I played several times with him and with the USA teams, and he's just a calm guy. He's under pressure. There's no one more calm and composed, intense with control. And I can only imagine that spread through the team. And when you go back to the bench and you have that voice over your shoulder, that calming influence, And the knowledge to say, hey, this is what's going to happen, this is what to look for, I think, when you're in those situations where the other team's coming hard and they're throwing everything that they got at you, you want to know where's the one-timer coming from? What are they looking for? Who's going to be the player down by the net? Who's going to be the player behind the net? All these things that you're trying to sort out. When you have someone there with a calm voice just kind of walking you through it in between shifts, and that's the best thing about hockey, is that you have a shift and you come back and you can regroup, and then you go right back out there. But I can only imagine that Phil Housley was great in that situation. After playing with him, being his partner, he was a great influence on me. I learned a lot from him just by his presence and the way he handled himself.
I just worried that, you know, and I'm not taking away from any coach on the coaching staff right now because I don't know who does what and all that stuff. But I did wonder, I think Floyd really wondered about the loss of Housley and how that affected the defensemen who were like the stars of last year in the postseason and at times struggled this year in the postseason.
Well, I saying that, I played for Cato as well. Kevin McCarthy's a fantastic coach, and if anyone's calm and composed, it's him. He's very straightforward to the point. But I think that's, you know, when you look at some of the losses that they had last minute, I think they also had some great comebacks. I think that's just the way the NHL is going right
now.
Well,
you and I talked about it yesterday during a break, and it was the fact that Winnipeg's players were so big and so fast and so good that the Preds really struggled with getting the puck out of the zone, and that has to do with the forwards as much as it does the defensemen.
It's the whole team.
And when you don't get the puck out of the zone and Winnipeg's in, you're in for a minute and a half, with those players, you know, that's how Scheifele standing right by the net gets a clean look at it, and it's so good that he just puts it in.
And it's also, when you have a team like that that's throwing caution to the wind, saying, we're just coming, we don't care about defense anymore because we got to find a way to get a goal, that's tough to stop. Those guys, especially Winnipeg, big, strong, fast, and when they're coming hard, it's, you know, you got to make a couple quick plays. And, you know, I wasn't always a fan of the way they went for the empty nets, but Laviolette's position on that is that more often than not, they're going to score those. So they put themselves in positions by going for the empty net, but a lot of games they just iced out, and we didn't look at them as close games because they were just iced out by an empty net from P.K. Subban from beyond the goal line, just firing it down and getting it done. So, you know, you throw all those games out that were solved by the way they play.
Carl is up next on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Carl, you're on with Hal Gill.
Hey, Hal. So you had a long career in the NHL. I would like to know, out of all the teams and all the guys that you played against, is there a guy that stands out that you hated to play against because he was such a beast, or you would hurt bad after you played him? Is there anybody like that that stands out in your memory?
There's it's a good question. And everyone says, who's the hardest guy you had to play against? And, you know, Mario Lemieux he wasn't hard to play against. It's not like he'd go punish you. Like Gretzky wouldn't. There was no physical contact. Not a bruise to be found.
By the time you played Gretzky, though, was he too old?
Yeah, he was getting older, but he's still, like, you couldn't hit him. You know, by the time you'd chase him down, he'd throw a nice sauce pass the back door and it would be a goal. He'd be like, oh. Lemieux, same way. You know, you try to cover him and he'd just get a one-timer from the corner and bar down and be over. I will say, guys like Mark Messier I remember my first shift at, I went to go near the puck, and he slashed me on the wrist so hard. I just looked at him like, what do I do now?
Your first shift in the league?
No. This is my first shift against Mess. He was in New York, and he two-hand right across. And I looked at the ref, and the ref's like, sorry, I'm not calling him. You know, he was just a tough, hard man, and he could score. He could do everything. Brendan Shanahan was the same way. Keith Tkachuk was just ruthless, just slash you, cross-check you. These guys were good. They'd get you the spots in between the pads, and, you know, you didn't think someone could hurt you there, so you'd leave your body exposed, and they just find that rib or whatever, and it would hurt for 2 weeks after that. And then there's the guys, you know, I fought Zdeno Chara, and, you know, I think it was like 18 stitches over my eye because he's just a mutant. But I'd rather get punched in the face or get hit. Some guys just hit hard. But I'd rather get hit hard than have a guy just tally up points. The ego and the pride hurt a lot more than a couple bruises.
What would have to happen for you to let me punch you in the face once?
Go ahead.
You're gonna punch back, aren't you?
No, I don't care. What are you gonna do?
If I punch you in the face once?
Yeah.
I mean, I could, like...
I just told you I had Chara punch me in the face. You think I care if you punch me in the face?
I
there's a fly in the corner that I'm worried about more than
you. I want to punch
you
in the face. Can I punch you in the
face? I've seen you do... Yeah, go ahead. Punch me in the face.
Wait, you've seen me do push-ups. I'm good at push-ups.
Yeah, you're fantastic. Go ahead.
All right. At some point, I will punch Hal in the face.
Wait. Are we just gonna, you're just going to cold cock me out of the blue?
No.
We can't do that.
Up against one another.
Like, give me a chance to say, okay.
But I get a little stepladder so that it's like, you know, an even punch. Let's go to Hunter, who's up next on Ask the GM. Hunter, you're on with Hal Gill.
Hi, Hal. I want to know if you think there's any real material behind the whole PK Subban blockbuster trade this summer. Because I've been hearing that might actually happen for cap reasons. But I don't know.
Thank you, Hunter.
Yeah. No, it's a good question because the way the salary cap era we're talking about it, you need to move money to get to make room for guys. I think the Preds have their, you know, a good problem where they have so many good D. I don't rule anything out. If the right deal comes along for PK, I think everyone loves PK. The whole city does, the management, players, coaches, fans, everyone. So I don't think they want to move PK. I don't want to sell my house, but if someone comes by and gives me a good offer, guess what? I'm selling my house. So I think that's the way that the NHL is now, and Poyle is aware of that. And I don't think I think they'll listen to offers, but it's got to be a good one. They're not giving him away for free. They're pretty happy with the way he's played, and I think they're excited about, especially next year. I think they're happy with this team, and they think they can do it, so they want to wait on it. But, anything's an option as long as it's a good one. I think they'll entertain it.
Let's go to Noah, who's up next on Ask the GM. You're on with Hal Gill.
Yes, thank you. So I had a question about the Titans. So last year it was proven that our offense was the best or the worst that it's been since Mariota came in. Do you think that we would have – do you think we should add more receivers to the receiving core to help out with our offense? That way we don't have to rely on our defense as much as we did last year?
Nope. Noah, good call, especially considering that Hal Gill is now on the Dez – Brian Train.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bring this back to the Patriot way, right? If you're going to talk about the Titan way, the Patriot way started off with Tom Brady. Like, he just managed the game. He didn't come into the league and just throw lights out.
In the first Super Bowl they won, Brady threw for like 140 yards and
nothing.
Kurt Warner threw for like 500.
Yeah, nothing. He just managed the game. So I think – depending, and with the way the salary, you know, like the way your team is structured, you're either setting up the defense to be successful or the defense just has to lock it down long enough for the offense to be successful. So you really have to be aware of the game plan going forward. And I think that's where Mariota is good. I think to be successful, he doesn't have to go lights out. I don't think I don't know if they need to go crazy trying to hit wide receivers. They have to manage the game. I think that's part of Deion Lewis coming in. They have Henry in the middle and can jam it down throats, and they'll be able to pop it outside. And it is interesting, the Dez Bryant situation. Is that a guy you want to add? Because that brings another aspect to your game where you can spread it out and make the offense more effective that way. But it's all about game management. I think that's where Mariota, he doesn't need to put up big numbers. He needs to manage the game well.
I think that's a great point. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Great job, Hal.
That's a lot of pressure. I mean, that's big shoes to fill.
On Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows and Doors, I thought you did a great job.
And I apologize to the real GM if I misspoke. You know, I just, to get a stamp of approval from him.
You think he has small shoes? Or?
I want to make sure I did right by him.
Oh, I'm sure that he will be. In all honesty, I think the one thing that he would take away is that he did really wonder about the lack of Phil Housley in the playoffs this year. So at least we got that answered one way or another. So speaking of Mariota, did the NFL answer a question for us finally? And it involves Mariota, and I will get to it next. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. And you know what? Speaking of Mariota, the stadium he plays Saturday, there is a big Monster Jam, and you can win a pair of tickets right now. Be caller 5-615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets for Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium Saturday, June 23rd. Monster Jam roars into Nissan Stadium Saturday. Don't miss the biggest names in the sport, Gravedigger, Max D, Son of Digger, and more. Get your tickets now at MonsterJam.com or Ticketmaster.com. Jared and the GM, Hallen for Floyd, ESPN 102.5.
Adam, the story on Winston seemed to be brewing overnight and making headlines after an ESPN radio commentator in Tallahassee mentioned that Winston was facing a suspension. How did we get to this point where you're reporting this news now, Adam?
Well, that was the first sign of it, Sage, last night. And again, today, speaking to multiple people, they say that the NFL is now planning to suspend Jameis Winston 3 games. It could be handed down as early as Friday. And when you look at this particular case that stems back to March of 2016, I think in this particular case, Jameis Winston recognizes that he did some things wrong, that he would do some things differently. The NFL looked into this, and the more it peeled back the onion, the more uncomfortable it grew with this particular situation. And so ultimately, the NFL, I think, is going to decide to suspend Jameis Winston for the first 3 games of the season, which means that Ryan Fitzpatrick would then be the Buccaneers' starting quarterback.
Jameis Winston going to get suspended 3 games. You just heard Adam Schefter right there. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. So, you know, like when Jameis was at Florida State, there was always a story, right? Like there was, you know, the sexual assault that we don't know how that, what really happened with that. There was the stealing the crab legs from Publix, which we don't really know how that happened. There was always all these red flags around Jameis Winston, despite how good he was.
Just a rap sheet.
Just basically. Then Jameis gets, there was that moment at the student, like the student hall at Florida State where he got up on the
yes.
table. And okay, so Jameis was just always causing problems. And so then he goes to the league. And like, he had so many red flags, so many. And it was like, look, Jameis is just misunderstood. That was kind of what everybody was told and everybody heard. And after 3 years in the NFL of being an upstanding citizen and not doing anything that seemed to be wrong, you know, I think a lot of people started thinking, nah, Jameis was just a dumb kid in college, and now Jameis is, you know, growing up into an adult or yada, yada, yada. Mariota, on the other hand, has acted like a true pro since day one. Like, no red flags. The biggest red flag for Mariota in the draft was there are no red flags.
There's got to be something.
Right. That was kind of what some teams thought. And so to me, like, I kind of feel like the Marcus and Jameis discussion is really close, because they both didn't have great seasons last year. Floyd said that he would have taken Mariota over Jameis in a heartbeat, thought that Mariota was a much better player coming out than Jameis. But does, like, this solve it if Jameis does get suspended 3 games? Like, at that point, can we say Mariota would have been the better option than Jameis Winston?
But this is his past. That's kind of, right?
This is a 2016 incident. So,
yeah,
so Jameis was already in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I think it's kind of in his past that they're digging up bones, right? So has he turned to, I mean, like, he's been pretty well behaved since then, right? Is that what you're saying, for 2 years? Does that count as a?
Well, okay, so I look at it like this. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a lot of, there. If you look at the, it's kind of like when, you know, you brought the term rap sheet with Jameis, with everything in the past.
Yeah, well, you look at the full record, and then you go, all right.
Right,
come
but
on.
It's like, you know, hey, we don't look at that, but then if you do something else, then that doesn't get expunged from your record, and that comes back into the foray of, wow, Jameis did do all those things in college, or Jameis was involved in all those situations in college, and now here's Jameis again involved in another situation, and here's Jameis getting 3 games, and I mean, to me, I was a huge believer in the talent of Jameis Winston.
Oh, like, no doubt.
I thought when he was at Florida State, like, I thought he was going to come to the NFL and just be a superstar.
Yeah, that's the way it looked anyway.
And I kind of thought Mariota was going to be a bust, like when they were both coming out. So I would have taken Winston over Mariota in a heartbeat. But the off-the-field thing with Jameis was very much real. And now here we are. The gap between them statistically is not very close. I mean, or is very close. Marcus has had more success. Jameis has probably had a little bit better stats. But now Jameis is getting suspended. And it's like all the red flags and all the problems Jameis has had is kind of like, can you trust Jameis? Whereas we know Marcus is the typical model citizen, the definition of what you want on your team. And that alone would make me rather have Mariota than have Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I'll go with that. But I don't know. You know what? The NFL is so weird with all this stuff. Like, they, you know, I thought this was kind of gone away.
Like the Uber driver incident?
Yeah.
Well, they were investigating.
I know, but that's a long time to investigate. You know, like, Jameis has got to be like, enough, all right, guys?
Right, like, what changed?
Can you just let this go?
In the last month.
Yeah. I mean, like, investigate. Lock up the, you know, throw the file away, you know? Like, it just seems so, why are they bringing it up now? Why are they into it now? If everything was, you know, he did his time, or if they decided it wasn't a crime or whatever they, you know, the law decides, then they can act on it. But that was kind of, I just thought it was gone. And so it's hard for me to judge a guy on something that happened his first year coming into the league. Like, let the guy move on.
Well, here's what happened according to ESPN.com. The alleged incident, because if you haven't heard the story, it involves an Uber driver in Phoenix in March of 2016. So this would have been after Jameis Winston's rookie year. In fact, I think Ronald Darby, who's on the Eagles now or Bills, he's on one of those teams, that Ronald Darby was his teammate in college. He was there as well. But this is what ESPN says. The alleged incident occurred in March 2016, but did not surface until BuzzFeed reported the accusations in November of 2017. The NFL initiated its investigation with Lisa Friel, who's their, you know, head of the domestic violence stuff, with Lisa Friel at the forefront of it. And the Buccaneers have been waiting to hear from the league. The league began its investigation in November of 2017 when a woman who identified herself as Kate told BuzzFeed that Winston reached over and grabbed her crotch while waiting at a drive-thru at Los Betos Mexican Food at 2 a.m. So
this was not brought up. This was not the law was not involved in this. This was her going to BuzzFeed?
Yes.
So the law was not involved?
I don't think so.
Why didn't she go to the police?
According to this, no police charges were filed, but the driver did file a formal complaint with Uber. She told BuzzFeed that she wanted to, quote, or she wanted to tell the truth, quote, about a powerful man who felt entitled to my body when all I wanted to do was my job. Uber confirmed to ESPN that Winston's riding privileges were revoked, but Winston did not notify the league of the complaint. And apparently that's what this stems from, is the fact that Winston didn't tell the league.
So the league wants to know.
And the league was like, because again, the league's new power trip is you have to fully cooperate on everything.
Otherwise,
example,
you get four games.
Brady.
Like Brady for a $25,000 fine that would have been deflated ball.
So then, according to this from ESPN, former Florida State teammate and Philadelphia Eagles corner Ronald Darby said he was also a passenger in the vehicle and corroborated Winston's account, which was that he and Winston were in the vehicle's back seat and that a third person was in the passenger seat. Darby did not identify the name of the third passenger publicly. The Uber driver's attorney, John Clune, disputed Darby's account, saying that Winston was the only passenger in the vehicle.
When was this brought to the attention of the NFL?
When it came out in November of 2017 via BuzzFeed.
Right.
So the NFL's been investigating since November.
Why does it take that long to investigate? Because this was news. I remember when this came out, and I was like, wow, I wonder if
James
anything's going to happen.
Again,
because it wasn't law. It was just someone that went to BuzzFeed, which is weird.
Well, I guess she wanted to get her story out.
I understand that, but if you feel like you've been violated, you go to the police. Please, women, if you feel like you've been violated by someone, please go to the police.
No, I agree with you. But
don't go to BuzzFeed. That's not where you go.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm just of the mindset that if Jameis Winston is getting suspended and is doing this stuff again, and
you just want to talk about Mariota again.
Then it makes Mariota. This, I think, is the defining moment where you sit there and you say Mariota's better than Winston, and they should have taken Mariota number one. And that I feel I think they're like even. You know, I think Marcus is probably like more accurate passer, probably better at making the throws, like the really tight window throws. I think Jameis is probably better at just slinging the ball. And, you know, Jameis has almost no regard for turning it over, which sometimes is a good thing, sometimes is a really, really bad thing. And they're really close. But this today is the first time I felt like I'm sitting there saying, Marcus is better than Jameis because of this.
Do you think Mariota is looking to redo his contract? Because now he's first in Jared Stillman's opinion.
I wonder.
First overall.
Like if he sat down with John Robinson.
Can he sit down and be like, I want to redo my deal because Jameis, it was on BuzzFeed that Jameis is not going to play football.
Well, this is what I wonder. Is like games. John Robinson.
So I want to redo my contract.
Well, John Robinson was part of the decision-making process in Tampa to select Jameis Winston. You know, he was the assistant general manager, but really, like, you know, it was 1A and 1B with Jason Licht and John Robinson. And I do wonder how John felt about Jameis Winston, and because they said they thought Jameis was a better leader. Now, John didn't say this, but I think it has been assumed that Tampa thought Jameis was a better leader than Marcus. And now how do you feel about that? So we'll take your calls in on all of this. But again, according to Adam Schefter, it looks like Jameis Winston's going to get suspended 3 games tomorrow by the NFL. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Hal Gill in for Floyd, Jared the GM again, Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, reporting that Jameis Winston is set to receive a 3-game suspension from the NFL stemming from an incident in 2016, in March of 2016, in which on some level or another it is alleged that he either assaulted or harassed an Uber driver. She went to BuzzFeed in November of last year and the NFL started investigating. And it looks like they're going to come down and give Jameis Winston a 3-game suspension, according to Adam Schefter with ESPN. According to the report, multiple people in and around Tampa have spoken highly of Winston's good deeds within the community, in which he has taken part in too many for the team to count. But questions about his maturity and decision making have followed Winston since his time at Florida State. So this is not good for Jameis. And as I said earlier, I think this firmly puts Marcus Mariota ahead of Jameis if you were to try to pick between the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'm missing in the story, obviously. It doesn't add up for me, but getting back to it, yeah, let's go back to Mariota. Obviously, he's the better pick. He can play a full season here. Let's keep him healthy, and then I think you might be right.
So, a couple other things we got to get to. Hal Gillen for Floyd. Number one, NBA draft tonight. Is it right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game? Okay, it is. And that means it's streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm going to watch because I watch. But, man, college basketball in this town just does not have the same zing that it used to have. And, Hal, I firmly blame the Predators for that. That the zing, growing up, like, Nashville in the winter was like a college basketball town. Tennessee was good. Vandy was good. Kentucky was good. Florida was good. Like, and it was SEC basketball and college basketball and the tournament and, like, even the draft, if you weren't an NBA fan, like, the draft was fun. Now maybe it's just me and not the people, but I've been so immersed in the Preds that, like, we didn't even talk college basketball here on the show much this year. And all the metrics and everything that they tell us say that Jared the GM was an ever-growing and popular show. So I don't know. I just don't feel the excitement for the college basketball and the draft and everything else like it used to be in this town.
Well, I will say, I was never a crazy basketball fan. I was like in the 80s, I was a Celtics fan, and I loved watching Michael Jordan. And then, the game just kind of went to two teams. I feel like it's whatever team LeBron's on versus the Golden State.
Bingo.
And that's
not fun.
That's not fun. It's not. Like, I don't want to cheer for my team. Like, the Celtics had a pretty good run, but it was always, you know, on that. Yeah, I mean, they'll have a good run, but it's not gonna, they're not going to make it.
Like, you knew that even if they beat LeBron and the Cavs,
they're just going to get rolled.
I mean, get smoked. So maybe I think the NBA's done something to this. And
but
the one
when you talk about college basketball, March Madness is it's amazing. College basketball is, I think it's great in March. I don't know. It doesn't hook me now. It doesn't hook me in the regular season. Now, when you talk Preds, when you talk hockey, I just find it so fast, so engaging, so, and not to mention, like, it's fun. Those games, you go to the games. Bridgestone Arena is fun.
Well, the truth is in this town, the Preds right now, which I never thought 10 years ago would have ever happened, the Preds own this town in the spring. Own it.
Hell yeah.
And it's funny because, like, so I listen, there's a Boston radio show that we use clips from all the time, Felger and Maz, the 98.5, the sports hub in Boston. And they only talk Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics. And I want to do a show like that where we just talk Titans, Preds, and Vols, and, like, that's it. And that's what we do. And the reason we do it is because that's what you all want to hear. You know, so I feel like we only talk about what you want to talk about, and you all want to talk Preds.
Love
way
it.
Over college basketball. Like, not even close.
I love it. Well, yeah.
I wonder if outside of the SEC tournament, the Preds are killing college basketball, the popularity of college basketball in
just
Nashville.
Beating it to death?
I think a little bit. I never thought I'd come on the air. Like, the Preds played Calgary on a Thursday night last, like, February 20th or something. They played Calgary. And I came on the air, and I guaranteed the Preds would win. And when the Preds – and, like, I never thought, like, that would be something people wanted to talk about in the middle of February. We, like, loaded phone lines the whole show, be like, Jared, don't do that to the Predators. You're going to jinx it. And then they ended up losing, and I got slammed for that.
It was your fault.
Then they played San Jose, like, a week later. And I said it was a trap game because the Preds had won a bunch in a row. Yep. And, like, you know, it was a big road trip coming up. And so, like, you know, San Jose was really fighting it, and you were well into the playoffs. I'm like, trap game, total trap game. And when the Preds won 7-1, I just got annihilated on Twitter. Well, nothing I've ever said about college basketball in this city has ever had that type of gravitas.
Well, this is a hockey town. Like that,
it really
is. You can call it a small market. You can call it whatever you want. The Preds have done, this city has done a different take on hockey. It's not the way hockey is in Canada. It's not the way hockey is in the rest of the NHL. It's its own brand of excitement.
Do you
like
that? Own,
I love it. You know what? It is whatever you make it. Your city, your team, you go to different cities and they do different things, and it's great. We should celebrate. Vegas is doing their own thing.
Well, I'll celebrate you. I'll see you tomorrow, Hal Gill.
Looking forward to it.
Jared the GM.
In this hockey town.